let's do a little clapsy.
Ooh.
Yeah. Ow.
That felt hurt. No, that felt hurt.
I feel hurt at this time.
That spanked me bad.
Welcome to Trans in Love.
A podcast.
About being trans.
And in love. Because that's what we are.
I'm Ezra Michel.
I'm El Duran. Well, I'm El Michel Duran.
I'm Ezra Duran Michel.
We did a little switcheroo.
We did a little swapsie. We decided that on the day we got married.
Yeah. We were like,
oh no.
They said, are you going to share your last name? And we sat there.
In silence.
Yeah.
Stunned. Too stunned to speak even.
We hadn't talked about it or thought about it.
We hadn't really considered any of it. And then I was like, maybe I'll just change my name. And then we'll both be El Michel Duran.
Uh-huh.
And then I had an existential crisis because I was like, is this misogyny that I don't want to take my wife's last name? It's not. It wasn't.
No.
I was just really attached to having Michelle be the punctuation at the end of my name.
And I understand that. It's just, it's your own sense of identity. And it was easy for me because Duran was always going to be my last name, right. my last name.
Right.
And so Michel Duran, though, is really pretty.
It's gorgeous.
Yeah. It sounds like a sexy, tight fragrance.
Sexy, tight fragrance or like a cookware line.
Michel Duran cookware. Michel Duran home.
Home.
Michel Duran astronauts.
Astronauts at home.
I love that.
So this episode, we really wanted to talk about kind of our origin story.
Yeah.
And I think what reminded me of the beginning of our relationship was that we both got really ill.
We're currently really sick.
You can hear the sex in my voice.
How are you feeling at this time?
Sexy, slutty, rasp. Mm-hmm. Not good.
Right.
I can turn it on for the camera, but right before we pushed record, I was like, Pretty much a zombie.
Yeah, just zombieing out.
I can go through the motions.
Yeah. Okay, so I'm in your body right now. What is the loudest feeling?
I feel like somebody is sitting on me.
On the insides?
Every organ, someone's sitting on there.
Okay.
Like, I feel like my chest and my lungs and my eyelids.
The eyes.
Yeah.
That's where the sickness is living for me, too.
Really?
Yeah. It's like, it feels like someone's just behind my eyes, just like pressing down.
Yeah, pushing. Yes.
They're honestly, what they're saying is they're like, look at this.
Oh.
Look at this.
Wow.
So it feels like my eyes are going to pop out of my head. Like that little squeezy doll. You know that squeezy doll where the eyes and the ears pop out.
Honestly, can you imagine, though, like having your eyes do that? The relief that it might give for just a moment.
Yeah, for my eyes to pop out of my head just and then go right back.
Just for a moment.
That's what I want right now.
Yeah. Squeeze me so my eyes pop out.
No, I'm having intrusive thoughts.
I'm sorry.
Anyway, I feel better today. I think I probably feel better than you.
You seem like it. Usually sicknesses tend to last longer for you.
Yeah, this is true.
But I'm glad that you're feeling better. I feel crazy a little bit. I feel like Leslie Knope. In that episode where everyone gets sick.
Yeah, in Parks and Rec.
And she has to do a speech.
They're like, Leslie, go home. She's like, no. Yeah, that's us doing this podcast. We're like, we need to do this podcast. This is only episode 2.
About 20 minutes ago, you could find me in my bathroom scrubbing the Jesus out of the shower with a toothbrush.
Yeah, that's crazy that you decided to do that right then.
I just saw the corners and I thought, that's disgusting.
I felt that this morning too.
It's gross. It was gross.
Yeah.
We lived here for 2 months almost and... That was the first time I cleaned the shower.
Yeah. So yeah, I wish I was better at cleaning bathrooms.
It's not easy.
It's not something that I like to do. I don't know if many people like to do it. It's just something you have to do.
Yeah, I think I like, once I get into it, I like it. Like the tediousness of like taking a toothbrush to the corners of the grout. I like that once I'm there. But it takes me, I think because I know I'm going to get into it, I think, oh God, I can't do that right now. And then that's what makes me put it off.
Right. That's the difference between you and me, though, is that you love getting into something. You get lost in a thing. And when I'm doing something, there are a few things that I get really lost in. Like maybe a book sometimes, if it's incredible. But other than that, like, or like...
Your game, your your basketball game?
My basketball hoops game, or like editing a video I get really into, but I disappear. And then when I come out of it, I'm like, I'm like, what just happened?
You know what I noticed about you?
Tell me.
You get lost in text communication conversations. Like when you're texting somebody, you are really present for that.
Yeah, that's
conversation.
Real. Yeah.
I can hardly talk to you while you're texting.
That makes sense.
Like you'll look at me while texting and then I'll be talking.
I'm somewhere else.
And you're completely gone.
But I am listening.
Kind of.
No, I am.
Well, I think you think that, but then from my experience,
okay,
it's that you look like you're listening and then... And then you'll say, what?
Oh, gotcha.
After I've said the thing.
Okay, I hear that. I guess, yeah. And but I feel like you're the same way.
I don't text people back.
Oh, right. You don't text people. If you're texting, I won't talk to you. Or I'll say...
You're so respectful about that.
Because I know that you need to focus your entire brain on it or else you're not going to do it.
And the thing is, you're probably the same, but I don't give you that same grace often.
Yeah.
I feel like I just start monologuing and you're like trying... I think you're trying to show me that you love me by looking at me.
Yeah, absolutely.
And then I'm like, you didn't hear me?
While I am listening, I'm also... it takes my processing speed is longer. So if you give me a second, like I'll remember what you said.
It's like retroactive listening.
Yeah. 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 Exactly. But, yeah.
How are you doing, Al? Jumping back in here. How are you doing?
For the listeners, we just had to cut out a giant chunk because I just had an existential crisis about my brain not really working right now.
Al asked, should we just start over? And I said, no.
I just don't know. It's just, I feel so foggy. It's okay. Like, you know, and I know what you did last summer when they're on the street and it's dark out and it's foggy. And there's a dead body.
Have I seen that?
I don't know. Have you?
I don't know.
Me neither, actually. I don't know if I've seen that. Anyway, that's how my brain feels. Just like a foggy, empty street at night. No street lamps. Dead body somewhere.
sounds like the perfect way to do a podcast.
Yeah, I agree. But when we fell in love, we were feeling this sick, if not more sick.
We had COVID.
We had actual COVID.
Real COVID.
That was my first time, maybe only time having COVID.
That was my second time having it.
Wow.
But it was bad.
Yeah.
It was gnarly. It hit us hard.
I remember the day that the first time you said you might be falling in love with me was that night is when we started feeling sick. So we were like walking around.
Will you tell the story? Because I don't even remember.
Okay.
Where were we?
We were in your apartment.
Okay.
And
in Hollywood.
Yeah.
Proper Hollywood.
Yeah. And we had been walking around all day. I took photos of you, sexy hot photos of you.
Oh, in my pussy boy pants. Right?
Yeah.
My tank top.
Mm-hmm. Then we were walking around feeling dandy.
Fine.
Feeling absolutely fine. We went back to your apartment. And then we did the nasty.
We had sex.
Yeah. I don't know if y'all know what that is.
We invented it.
It's when a man and a woman love each other very much.
They diddle each other's butts.
They diddle. They diddly-do. Didgeridoo.
I played the didgeridoo when I was a child.
Wow. Didn't you perform on the street?
Yeah.
Did that go well for you?
Yeah. People paid me.
It didgeridid.
It didgeridid. Sure, didgeridood. Did.
Okay, so anyway, we finished didgering each other's dues. We finished didgering each other's dues, and then...
God, your memory's incredible.
Thank you. Afterwards, you looked at me, and you were like, I think I am falling in love with you.
What a bitch move to say, I think I'm falling in love. Like, I just... I feel I feel manipulative to like... imagine saying that to you for some reason.
Maybe you didn't say it exactly that way.
Okay. But I can kind of remember it.
Yeah.
Like, I think I wanted to share with you that my feelings were strong,
mm-hmm.
but I was so afraid of committing to you because I knew that I had just gotten out of a second relationship on top of the one I was already in. Mm-hmm. And I was like, once I broke up with Jenny, I was like, I am so done dating two people at once.
Yeah.
This is crazy.
Yeah.
And I was like so exhausted by it. It was like a full-time job.
Right.
And then you came around and it was like, fuck.
Yeah.
Oh,
absolutely.
Damn.
Yeah, that's the thing, is that I knew I was in love with you within like a few dates. Like, honestly, it was after the first night we spent together.
Wow.
Was when I was sure that it was love. But I knew. Really? Yeah. I wrote a song. Okay, now let's tell the story of our first date. Let's tell the story of our first date. Okay, so
I am so corny.
I wrote a song. Oh, I sent it to you and you did not respond.
It was a cappella.
It was a cappella and it was beautiful.
It was beautiful, but I was like, oh no.
I could sing it to you. I could probably sing it for you right now. What was it? Okay.
I feel the angels in my penis.
It was, how come every time you come around my London fringe,
when I go down like London, when I go down like
London, oh my God, I love you. Anyway, our first date. Tell me what you remember.
I remember we were going through some friendship drama in our friend group because there was, I really wanted to kind of start fucking our friends.
Yeah.
And that was really the whole thing that started it, I think.
Yeah.
I was really bold.
That was the grenade.
I was like, y'all, listen, we're already intimate as friends. We're all hot and trans. Mm-hmm. Why are we not having sex with each other?
Yeah. And I will say this seemed ideal for me because I had not been intimate with anyone since coming out as trans. And yeah. I was like, okay, well, I don't know how to figure this out in a safe space. And I was like, okay, well, how about with these people that I love who are friends where it doesn't feel too serious? And
we were already all kind of like slutty in our own right, mm-hmm. in our own ways. Like we were like sexually liberated theoretically.
Yeah. In theory, which is I think the truth about a lot of people who have like expansive perspectives on love and sexuality, is it's like this constant give and take and battle with your trauma and your inclinations and your theories about how these things work. And that was an important relationship to confront.
Sure.
But before we get into all of that, let's tell me about the first date.
So the first date. Mm-hmm. So we're going through this friendship drama, and that night, or the night prior to the date, there was some drama that happened where the person that you were going to go to this drag queen one-woman show, Coco Peru's one-woman show at the LGBT Center in Los Angeles, bailed on you. And I was free that night. You just reached out to me and you were like, hey, this person bailed on me.
Yeah,
like,
do you want to come to this show with me? And I did not think you were going to say yes.
I lived pretty close to the LGBT Center. I lived like a 5-minute drive from the LGBT Center. But I was afraid of parking around there and I didn't realize there was a parking garage. So I just threw on some boots and started running there in the street.
Which was so cool because at that time, like, you seemed like someone who was pretty like elusive and hard to pin down. And so,
that's so funny too.
I thought that I just did not expect you to say yes. So when you did, I was like so excited because we had never really spent one-on-one time together.
I think that was the perfect scenario to get me.
Yeah, totally.
Because it was a weird thing that you're inviting me to. Yeah. Something that I loved already. Mm-hmm. I loved Coco Peru for years.
Yeah.
So that really, it was working for you. Yeah. In your favor, in our favors.
Absolutely.
But then also like a last minute invite is my favorite kind.
That's so real.
I don't want to plan.
Yeah.
I want to just be free and have somebody call me and say, can you meet me here in 5 minutes?
Do this right now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm like, I could do that. I know what I'll feel like in 5 minutes.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. And we sat down at the LGBT Center getting ready for this one-woman show, Coco Peru. And who sits next to us? Do you remember? Allison mother effing Janney. Allison Janney was sitting next to us. She was wearing a hat and I think even sunglasses.
She's cool.
We're obsessed with her in this household. She's one of our top 10.
She's trans.
Yeah, for sure. That's why.
Yeah.
She's trans in essence.
She's transcendence.
Aw. And so the show was amazing.
It was so good.
Yeah.
It was breathtaking. I mean, I felt so inspired after that show.
Yeah.
And I really wanted to hold your hand during the show.
Really?
Yeah, I remember looking down and being like,
"Oh." See, I had no idea at this time that you were thinking of it romantically at all.
Yeah.
But we had already kissed.
We had already kissed during Truth or Dare, or Spin the Bottle. Mm-hmm. So we knew that we liked kissing each other.
Yeah, that was awesome.
Yeah, it was. When we kissed, it was different.
Yeah, for sure.
And I felt it.
Yeah.
I remember it.
I mean, I guess what you're saying is very similar to, like, just what the thesis of this podcast about being in love, you know?
Yeah.
You're just someone who loves where you are. It's hard not to, like, be fully in and present with whatever you're doing. And I'm the same way.
Yeah.
And so it's like there's no space or room for any kind of connection that's inauthentic or cheap. Like, we are going to love hard. And because I knew you were that way, I didn't make much of the attention you gave me.
Hmm.
Because I was thinking, I'm not gonna trust that this is that special because Ezra is just that special. So of course it's gonna be that special. And I guess I knew that about myself, but I did not. I knew that I was special, but I didn't trust that other people knew that.
Yeah.
So I didn't trust that it was a shared experience that we were having together.
I think I felt similarly.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, I think that, in my experience back then, especially, I trusted that people found me attractive pretty much everywhere, especially in the spaces we ran in.
Yeah.
But that was boring to me. And I felt like there was an energy I got from you when we would interact back then that was so much deeper than this person finds me attractive. That was like, this person sees me beyond the show that I'm putting on.
Yeah.
And it was so intoxicating.
Yeah.
Cause I was just like, and that's why I think we connected over like spirituality and self-help books that we both were really wrapped up in at some point in our lives.
Definitely.
But not really at the time. We just kind of had a history with it that we talked about a lot. Mm-hmm. But I think like, yeah, I feel like you saw me and I was like instantly like, addicted to the feeling of being seen by you.
Yeah, absolutely.
So when I would see you out in the world, which I thought you were so elusive because you didn't really show up to every function that we were invited to.
This is the way that we were the same.
Yeah, because I didn't
and
do
we
it
are
either.
The same.
Yeah. So when we did cross paths, I would just like, there was like a burst of energy that would shoot out of me when I'd see you.
Yeah,
I remember the first time
that you had that reaction was on Halloween.
That warehouse party.
And I had never known that you liked me. I had never known because I tried to connect with you. And I think at the time my social media presence was a lot more green. And I was like very new trans person, very baby doll dress, very, very bright, positive, loud influencer. And so I think that energy might have, do you agree?
Yeah.
That left a taste in your mouth where it wasn't clear that I was, that's not who I was in all areas of my life.
I didn't know if you could hang.
Yeah.
I didn't know if I could be raunchy with you. And that's a big part of my personality and like the jokes I make.
Right.
But then I think before that party, we had had a night where we were out or talking or something. I know something must have happened before that night to make me understand better. Like,
yeah,
your
definitely.
Sense of humor.
So what was your first impression of me?
My first impression of you was like very like Disney Channel kind of trans educator.
Yeah.
Who I respected a lot. Because I do respect trans 101 educators
right.
a lot. because I know I could never do it. Mm-hmm. And so I think when I see that happening, I'm like, oh, thank God someone's doing that.
Yeah.
It's not going to be me.
Totally.
But also it didn't feel like content that was for me because I already knew all those things in my mind.
Yeah.
Which is not true because Elle teaches me stuff all the time still. but my first impression was that you were a little baby.
Yeah, I was.
Yeah.
I was a little baby.
And that I was like already such a trampa. Like I totally. Had been out for so many years already.
Yeah, like 7 or 8 years.
Yeah. What was your first impression of me?
Okay. Oh my God, that boy's cute.
Yeah.
I saw you first on a YouTube video years before we met.
Which YouTube video?
Well, it was... it was the my two boyfriends.
Oh, that wasn't years.
It was a couple years.
Was it really?
It was maybe one.
Oh,
year.
Yeah, because it was it was like the same month I met Jacob.
Yeah,
and we were like, let's do a podcast. Right. Let's do about polyamory because we're experts.
No, I remember I saw you on a YouTube video, and my friend, and I were watching it together. Whoa. Because this was during COVID, and she was like, he's so cute. And I was like, oh my God, he so is. And so that was my first impression of you. And then the first time I met you, I was like so excited to meet you. Aww. And you were so bouncy and kind of ran away from me. And so I thought that, oh my gosh, that's the perfect recipe for desire.
Yeah, I remember that show that I played that where we met for the first time. It was at the Red Line in downtown LA. Mm-hmm. I performed in it was like a daytime event.
Yeah.
That I played guitar, and we met, and I was there with my then boyfriend, and he was rather famous, and I was so used to people being more interested in him than me. Mm-hmm. So I think that's why I just ran away, because I was like, oh, this person, they'd rather talk to him than me.
Right.
And I'm going to go over here where I'm wanted.
Right. But I was really interested in meeting you both.
Yeah.
I was like, and I said, like, I follow you both on Instagram, and that held equal weight for me. Because I was like, oh my gosh, I've followed this trans guy who's like so cute and talented, and this was my first time at any trans community event.
That's too crazy.
So I was like really eager for connection.
Aww.
With the transgenders,
and I really didn't give it to you the way that you deserved it.
And also you were performing, so you were like running around and kind of like getting ready, and
well but still,
totally.
I hate that I didn't linger longer.
Do you have to? Do you have to let it linger longer, linger longer, linger longer? So the first time we kissed in a way that wasn't spin the bottle.
Sure. Which was my idea. Yeah. Yes. For the listeners to understand.
Yeah.
I was very much eager.
Let's make out. Let's all kiss. Let's horny. Tie tongues.
I was horny for romantic engagements with our friends.
Yeah. Horny for intimacy. So was I.
Yeah, because I was in a relationship that was, I was starved for intimacy with this fucker.
Mm. So you wanted, you were looking for,
I wanted to cuddle.
Yeah.
I wanted cuddles. And I had heard of other trans and queer people who had friend groups that all cuddled.
Yeah.
And I was like, that sounds fun.
That sounds cute.
I have a friend group that's trans
I
and queer.
That.
Why not?
Yeah. Well, cuddling is different than like, let's make out and
I wanted both.
Bleep each other's bleeps.
Well, but what the fuck does that mean?
You don't want to know. You actually
don't
want
to know.
It's worse
than fucking.
It's a lot worse. I think. Okay. So I was leaving your house after we debriefed after the Coco Peru show, and I was like, I guess I'll leave. I guess it's time for me to go. I guess it's time. I was wearing like a romper or something.
Probably.
And Spanx. I was wearing Spanx.
Oh, yeah. For maybe a bucket hat.
Maybe. No, I don't think I was wearing a bucket hat that night.
Fuck me.
Yeah.
Sorry.
I wanted to. But then I was like leaving, and then you were saying goodbye. And then what do you remember?
I remember like getting close to your face, and then asking if we could kiss or something.
Yeah.
I think I did ask.
I think you did ask for sure. And then you were like, do you want to stay? And yeah. I was like, yes. But of course, like my entire like attitude at the beginning of our relationship was just like, whatever.
You were trying so hard to be whatever.
It was I was working overtime to be nonchalant.
Yeah. And then you wrote a song.
Oh, maybe. Then maybe I wasn't that much.
Well,
I was
maybe like, you were trying to be nonchalant, but also letting yourself be yourself as
right,
well.
Right, absolutely.
I think you were trying to contain multitudes.
Definitely.
And it worked.
And it was a magical night.
Yeah, it really
like,
was.
We didn't even have sex or anything. We just, like, tickled each other and are, like... And kissed, and it was maybe one of my favorite nights ever.
Yeah, same.
It was just
so special. It was very sexy.
Mm-hmm. Very intimate and very innocent.
Yeah.
It just felt like we were just these, like, kids playing, and I was so nervous because it was, like, my first time being intimate in that way with someone since coming out. And so I was terrified. I was insecure. I didn't know how to see myself in an intimate setting. And you were so present with me and slow with me and affirming and checking in on how I was feeling.
Yeah.
And it was so lesbian.
I had been a lesbian for so long at that point.
That was my first lesbian experience.
I remember being so excited to show you how good it could be.
Yeah, absolutely.
With me.
Yeah.
Like, I remember being like, I just was so excited to show you how much I respected you and how much I, like, cared about you already.
Yeah.
And how safe you were. Mm-hmm. And so I was, like, trying to be really intentional about the words I used and the consent of it all and the affirmation of it all. And it was easy too. Cause it was all real. Like I remember just being like, so, like in my experience without like overthinking, you know?
Yeah. It felt spiritual.
Yeah.
Like I felt like my spirit was just like buzzing and it was tickly, but in a beyond physical way.
Yeah.
And that's why I was like, I gotta make something about this.
Yeah. I gotta write a song. I gotta send an acapella voice note.
Yeah. But also that was tactical. I was like wanting attention or affirmation that you felt it was special.
Yeah. 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 And I feel like I pulled away after that a little bit, not on purpose, but like my body just did that because I think it was kind of at odds with my original intention, which was to just be like keep it platonic, but also as like an intimate,
right?
Like intimate friends.
Yeah.
And friends with benefits.
Right.
I wanted that.
Yeah.
That was my original goal.
Yeah.
And then once it started to seem like it was crossing over a line for you, I think I did freak out a little bit. And maybe if I was more present with myself, I would understand more like the complexities of the freak out, but really I just kind of let myself react instead of being like, now why am I scared?
Definitely.
I was just sort of like, I don't know.
Yeah.
I won't respond.
Right. So we had been, like, seeing each other a few times.
Yeah.
And then decided that there was just, like, too much drama and it was too overwhelming and it was getting too real that we needed to stop. This was, like, a couple weeks after our first date. And I remember we both felt incredibly relieved.
When we decided to end
when
it.
Yeah. Because we were like, oh my gosh, like I'm free from the grips of this thing.
Yeah.
That feels so intense and it feels like it's sending me through the ringer. Mm-hmm. And
it's causing such a rift in our friend group. Mm-hmm. And just, it was feeling like the fear of losing everything that we had built with this friend group and losing our friendship.
Yeah.
Was too big of a risk.
Right.
And yeah, the relief was real. And we decided to get lunch right after that conversation.
You're like, anyway, now that we're broken up, you wanna get
some food?
I'm going to Cafe Gratitude. And for like folks who've never been to Cafe Gratitude in Los Angeles, this is a place where everything on the menu is like, I am grateful, or like, I am effervescent. And it's like, can I have the I am thoughtful?
And then they repeat it, you are thoughtful.
You are thoughtful, sweetie. Which is like a really cute
idea.
It's
gorgeous.
And also, wow, that it's embarrassing. There's something so embarrassing about ordering the like, I am horny salad.
Yeah.
You know? I'm like, I just want a Caesar salad.
I am a sexual being.
They're like, it's like just a waiter though. They're like, okay.
All right, you are wisdom. Okay.
But then we had a great time. And I think it was the next day that we spent the night together again.
Wow.
Without the intention to.
And did we hook up again?
No.
We just slept over.
We just slept in the same bed.
Yeah.
We ordered.
Classic.
Oh, we ordered sexy dirty chicken that I miss so much. We ordered clucking chicken. God, that was so delicious. We sat in the car until 4 a.m. and then
is that what I showed you? The Kristen Wiig movie?
Yes. What is it called?
Welcome to Me. One of my favorite films of all time. Welcome to Me. It is about Kristen Wiig's character who has borderline personality disorder. And I remember being like, this is a gesture to show you who I am. I'm going to open up to you by showing you this film that I relate to so heavily.
Now that we're broken up,
let me show you how mentally ill I truly am. This movie, this woman is fucking ill.
Yeah.
And I was like, what do you think?
You love this?
You like that? Because
gosh, I loved it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Great movie. And then I like started setting up the couch for you, and then you were like, can I sleep in the bed with you?
I remember that.
Yeah. And then we slept in bed and we cuddled, and come on.
And for the listeners, I'm staring straight into the camera like, come on.
And then I think the next day we went to the movies. We went to go see the Bob's Burgers movie.
Aww.
And then we were walking through.
God, your memory is crazy.
Yeah, we were walking through the Americana, like, arm in arm, platonic.
As if we were, like, a married couple.
Yes.
Yeah.
And then we, that was so fun. And I remember, and then we went to Monty's, and then we had a conversation where you opened up to me about the time you, like, your history and why the time you chose, like, one girl over another. Do you remember that story?
No.
It was like...
Which girl?
It was like you were dating a
girl.
This
happened a couple times.
It was like when you were at that like farming
camp.
Oh
my God.
Yeah. Will you explain that?
Yeah, Brooke and Chelsea.
Oh. Will you explain like what you explained and why that applied to...
Oh, no. That was a different one. It was Victoria and Sienna.
Who are these names? Was it Brooke, Chelsea, Victoria, or Sienna?
Oh, well, Sienna and I was at this farm and I was doing an educational course on permaculture and I was 16. But I was mentoring because I had gone the previous summer to take the course and then I went back to mentor the adults who came next.
Yeah.
And I got there and Sienna was really beautiful and she was there interning on the farm from South Africa. And I just was like, wow, she's so cool. She's so innocent. Like, she's so like fun and funny and quirky and different. And I just was like smitten with her. And so I love bombed the hell out of her and was like, you're the most beautiful, blah, blah, blah. Like, I just think you're so cool. And she was like, I've never been with a girl before. And I was like, well, you could try it and see. Mm-hmm. And then we kissed a bunch, but we didn't have sex because I was a virgin at the time. Wow. I just was pretending I wasn't with everyone I met.
Prude.
And and then she got a haircut. And I didn't like it. So I said, never mind.
And this is and why then, I only let you cut my hair. No, I'm kidding.
Well, she had her first lesbian experience, and then the next day she got a mohawk. And she had beautiful, long, beautiful hair. And at the time I was like this butch who was like such a fucking dick and was just like, I don't like that anymore.
Wow.
So I told her some reason for why. I think I said something like, oh, my feelings are scaring me. Like, they're too strong.
Gotcha.
And then I met another girl who came for the course, Victoria, and she gave me zero time of the nothing. Mm-hmm. She was just like, whatever, you're a kid.
Mm-hmm.
And we did end up kissing one night. And then I just remember she broke my heart, like, really quickly after that. And I remember being like, wow, I made a huge mistake.
Mm.
Because this girl, Sienna, was, like, so wonderful and so kind and so excited.
Mm-hmm.
And then I saw this girl who didn't care at all about me. And I was like, yeah, I like that, right, whatever that is. Right.
Yeah. Which is unfortunately, like, often how, like, things work. It's, like, weirdly the rules of energy is, like, the things that are chasing you tend to turn you off, and also the things that we chase tend to run away from us,
right,
just in life. And when you have the energy of like sitting and staying put and receiving, then that's when and trusting that the things are going to come to you,
yeah,
that's when they do. And that's also why where I knew that I wanted you, even though I didn't know why.
Yeah,
I mean, I knew why, because you're magical and our connection was like divine. And also on paper, I should have run, because like, I'm like, why am I still going after this person who's not ready for me? It's like, I deserve right. someone who's ready for me. But
and I would have agreed with you.
Totally.
Too. Totally. I think we were even like pretty, I feel like we were communicating a lot openly about all of this stuff too. It wasn't like this secret thing we were going through. Mm-hmm. We were being pretty open and candid with each other.
Definitely.
I was like, I feel like I often hurt people who like are like innocently
interested
in me. Yeah. And I don't want that to be a repeat.
Yeah. And once he said that, I was like, I got him. I got him, girls. Which
I was nervous to share that story because I didn't want it to be misunderstood. I didn't want you to interpret that I thought you were like desperate for me, or because Sienna, looking back, I don't think was desperate for me. I think she was having her own individual experience that I was certainly inserting myself into and being like, this is about me.
Right. And someone got a haircut. That was true for me in a way too. It was my first time with a trans person as a trans person out trans person,
first time with a vagina person.
Yeah, changed my life. And so
did not seem like your first time. No one's ever made me come on the first time. That's crazy. I remember just being like, what the fuck. No one. I felt like at that point before we had had sex, I felt inherently damaged because I had such a hard time coming during sex until you.
Wow.
And then it was like, oh, I've just been hooking up with the wrong people.
People really just got to learn. Then sex with
anyone else started being really hard to do. We weren't having sex at this time.
No.
We were still the cafe gratitude broken yeah, up.
We were still cafe gratitude. We were still I am broken up with. And
but still relieved and still very
spicy
like.
Spicy soup.
Yeah. And I historically never make plans for my birthday. Mm-hmm. And Elle is really good at birthdays.
I love birthdays.
I was like, I'm safe with you if I do birthday with you.
And you said, do you want to come to my hometown for my birthday, just you and me, and meet my father?
As friends.
Platonically?
I thought it was normal.
I just wanted you. I just wanted to spend time with you. And that was one of my favorite days ever.
It was so fun. I felt so special. And I laughed so hard.
Mm-hmm. We went to so many thrift stores.
I'm going to cut in some some videos from that day into this episode.
Perfect.
For the Patreon.
It was so funny. We took a nap when we got to like Santa Barbara and we cuddled and then you kissed me on the back. And then I was like,
hey,
that doesn't seem platonic.
Hey,
what's that about? Oh. And we cuddled all night and watched movies.
We did.
Platonically.
And we didn't have sex.
Yawn.
And we didn't kiss on the face.
Mm-mm.
I just kissed you on the back.
Yeah. And then on our way back.
Mixed messages, man.
On our way back, we stopped at the beach and we ran to the water. We were laughing giddy. And then we sat in silence, just like looking at the ocean. And you leaned your head on my shoulder and you were like, I feel like this is what monks feel like.
Girl, get out of here. I said that?
Yes, you said that.
I hate that.
And then I loved it because I was like, oh, you feel at peace and like calm with me.
You were like trying to read any signal that I was giving you.
Yeah, basically.
And but I was like, really? I think I was fighting myself so hard at that time. I just remember the turmoil mm-hmm. of like being like, if I were to relax, I would scream out loud that I was in love with you.
Right.
And I was like clenched so tight because I knew what was on the other side of it.
Yeah.
And it was that I wanted to be in a serious relationship with you.
Right. Oh.
And I was so afraid.
Yeah.
I was afraid of having another full-time job.
Right. Right.
And I was already struggling so much with my other relationship. Mm-hmm. And it just felt like I felt so doomed.
Mm-hmm.
Alongside with the feeling of absolute bliss
mm-hmm.
being with you.
Yeah.
And so I just was like, what if we just didn't talk about it and just did
yeah.
moments like this forever?
Yeah. I guess I was feeling the same way, you yeah. know? I was just feeling both this intoxicating peace and infatuation, and I had never met someone who was so silly and stoopy poopy poop poop and also profound and smart and healed / healing and it just felt like I had never met someone who felt like as special as how I felt when I was alone.
Yes.
And it was like, wow, I just want this feeling all the time because it's like all of the great things about me being alone, but not alone.
Yeah.
It's just the best. And that's what it still feels like.
It really does.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, that's so crazy. I remember like talking to my therapist all about it
yeah.
and being like, it's like I'm alone, but I'm not. It's like, it's alone without the loneliness.
Right.
And not to say that I was always lonely when I was alone, because mm-hmm. I wasn't.
Yeah.
Especially back then, I was really good at it.
Mm-hmm.
I was so used to it.
Yeah.
And I got so good at spending time with myself instead of being alone.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it was like, I'm hanging out with me.
Yeah, for sure.
And yeah, it was so fun to finally meet. I felt like I met my match.
Yeah, definitely.
In such a gnarly way.
Yeah.
It was so profound.
And it makes sense that when we decided that we shouldn't be together, that that is what catapulted yes. us to being together.
And I remember having that thought.
Yeah.
I remember being like, because you talked to me about the energy thing
mm-hmm.
a lot. And I think I learned something from you. I learned that from you, the sort of like, the more you push, the further away it goes. Or mm-hmm. You said something real profound.
Yeah, maybe.
Something cool about desperation and yeah. something. And I was like, this is that.
Mm-hmm.
Like, we're not pushing
yeah.
anything. We're just existing and
mm-hmm.
and the vibration
yeah,
that we're both on is
yeah.
like matching up.
Right. It's like when we let it go is when we were even more drawn to each other.
Yeah. And you shared something about like, we don't have to chase what's ours or some shit,
mm-hmm.
which is something that the girl that we don't like in building the band says.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. But people weaponize
they love
healed
that.
Language all the time.
And you said it because Beyonce said it or something. And I was like, I trust
really?
That. You said something like Beyonce says that, like, oh, I'm sure what's mine is already mine or something. Really? Like, what's, if it's for me, then it's, well, I don't know, whatever.
She said something
awesome. She said something awesome, and you were like, Beyonce said this, and I was like,
she sure did.
She sure did.
So I'm the night board. We got back from the beach after your birthday.
Yes.
Will you tell me about the gift you gave me?
It was my 27th birthday.
I don't remember.
That sounds right. Cool. Yeah, because I was 26 when I was dating Jenny, and then, yeah. I go by girlfriends.
That's how you remember
how old I was. Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. So, okay, I'll tell you then.
You say it, because I don't remember.
Okay.
Oh, was it a shell?
Yeah.
I gave you a shell, and okay. It mattered a right. lot.
It mattered a lot, because it was so romantic. We got home from the beach and from your birthday trip, and you said, close your eyes. I have a present for you. And then you said, open your hand. And then I opened my eyes, and you put a shell in my hand that I still have from the beach.
This is why we're married.
Yeah, for sure. And then I was like, oh, that's so nice. And then we spent hours together still at my place.
Just quietly staring at the shell. Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's so nice.
And then that night, you stayed up all night journaling.
Oh my God. And I told you about it.
Yeah,
I'm sure I said I was up all night journaling. I wish I could find, I bet I could find the journal entry.
Wow, that's awesome.
Yeah.
And then the next day, we saw each other and you ran to me and you said, I need to talk to you later.
I was up all night journaling.
And I was like, awesome. And then we were all over each other. And then that night is when it started.
We made out for the first time after the Cafe Gratitude Day.
Yeah.
And that was like, what, a month?
No, that was like a week and a half.
I'm out.
Maybe 2 weeks.
I'm backflipping out of here. Yeah. That's no, crazy.
It was not that long.
Our lives back then mm-hmm. were so dramatic.
Yeah, definitely.
Every day was like a week.
Yeah, we were also like, I'll speak for myself. I was really self-involved because I was spending a lot of time alone, going through a lot of like realizations about myself, that everything that happened to me felt so severely important.
Yeah.
And so, which is, I think, a thing that is just your 20s too, I guess.
I think so.
Yeah.
I would see a leaf fall and be like, what was the thought that I was thinking while that leaf fell? And why am I interpreting that leaf falling as a sign?
Definitely.
And what is the energy that I'm feeling right now when I stare at the leaf?
Right. What did I do?
How did I get anything done?
Yeah, I know, right?
We didn't get much done. No, that's not true.
No, that's not true.
We got a lot done.
We did so much because we were young.
We could do multiple things in a day and not be like, I gotta rest.
We're only 30 now. We're still young.
We're so young. I'm sick.
Yeah.
That's why I feel like this. Yeah. I cleaned a shower.
Yeah, why'd you clean that shower? That's what made the leaf fall, baby.
You're right.
So, okay, let's segue into our...
Segue is spelled S-E-G-U-E.
Segue.
I hate that.
You know why they fucked us up?
Why?
It's because of segways.
Yes.
The motorbikes.
Which is going from one thing to another, which makes sense.
But they spelt it S-E-G-W-A-Y.
Because that makes sense.
I think we should transition back into...
Men and women.
Transition this podcast into a vocabulary plumbing podcast.
Okay.
Call back. Okay, so let's talk about polyamory.
Okay.
I want to know. You know what I want to know? You know what I want to know at this time?
Tell me.
I want to know when you started diddling with polyamory.
All right, listen.
What was that? What came up in you?
Yeah. It's a fair question.
Thank you.
So I was 22. I was living with my grandmother, taking care of her. She was taking care of me by letting me have a place to live because I had burned all the bridges at that point. I had to get sober. There was no other option.
Oh my gosh. It's, you know what? Call back to London Bridge.
How come every time you come around, you burn this bridge? Want to go down like, why are you always stoned?
Why are you always stoned? What was the experience of polyamory
You know,
like not the specifics of like how it functioned, how it but what for you in your body,
in my body,
like what came up for you as you were in moving through polyamory?
I had been an adulterer in my life. Mm-hmm. And so it felt like the answer was polyamory because I was like, I always stray. Mm-hmm. I'm always looking. Might as well have it be built into the rules.
All right. Totally.
So I can't hurt anyone. Mm-hmm. And I was excited about that because I hated myself so much for the ways that I had hurt people in the past.
Yeah.
And the ways monogamy felt like such a prison. Mm-hmm. And I was like, wow, well, this is like, this is the future. This is the answer.
Yeah.
That I've been looking for.
This is me.
I'm exactly where I'm supposed to be now.
Gonna try out polyamory.
When we first decided, okay, let's make this official.
Yeah.
Which I don't really remember.
It was when we were sick.
Okay.
So this is why.
Coming back around. All right. So
that's when we were sick with COVID and we were staying in.
That's what it was.
Yeah. We were staying in my apartment and we were taking care of each other. And then it was once again, we had sex. And then afterwards.
Sick sex.
Afterwards.
Can you imagine having sex right now? Sick.
No.
This sick.
I feel horrible.
I feel awful.
We did then too, probably.
We were different people back then.
Yeah, for sure. Also, so then you said. You said, I love you.
I said, I love you. I remember I was screaming in my head.
Yeah.
Screaming, and my defenses were down.
Right.
Because I was sick.
Yeah.
And then we had just had sex.
And then we were like, let's. And then you said, like, do you want to be my girlfriend? And I was like, yeah.
What are we, in a movie?
I was like, yeah, I do. And that was pretty awesome.
And then I'm just curious. Mm-hmm. So after that. Mm-hmm. Then you realized, oh shit, potentially. Oh shit, now there's a lot to unpack here about
polyamory. Yeah, well, I knew it was always a polyamorous dynamic.
Sure.
So I was because you were always in another relationship. So that was always something that I was like grappling with. And I remember feeling like struggling a lot. Feeling as though I had a lot of like self-worth issues, a lot of trust issues, a lot of abandonment triggers. And so I felt that polyamory was a way to like safely engage with these like happenstances that triggered me so deeply in a controlled and safe environment. To heal that trauma.
Right.
And I think what that is why I'm really glad that it's a part of my story and our story, and why I think it set us up for success, because we had to talk through really complicated emotions. We had to talk through a lot of pain and jealousy and fear of abandonment. But the thing that I realized after a while was that I was abandoning myself in thinking that, okay, this only feels bad because I'm broken and traumatized, instead of this feels bad because it's not what I want.
Right.
And I didn't know the difference. And the thing is, I needed to not know in order to know.
Right.
So, like, I do think that it taught me a lot, and I realized that it's not what I want. And
oh, really?
Yeah. So it's unfortunately not what I want. Oh, or God, at this time,
we haven't had that conversation yet.
But I mean, the thing is, I feel like what we've talked about is how, like, it's a everyday decision to be monogamous, and that like we're always. Like, I don't know. We're not like making decisions based on past decisions. We're making decisions in each moment, you know, about what feels right for us. And that's the truth about our entire existence.
That's the truth. No matter what, no matter what rules or structure we put on these things, it's always going to be the case.
Yeah.
I think in a healthy relationship,
right,
you're always going to be choosing to be together,
yeah,
or not,
right?
And thankfully, like, we've built a lot of trust and a lot of, like, we have a lot of faith in our relationship, I think.
But, yeah.
And that's taken a lot of work.
Tell me about when you realized that you wanted to be monogamous with me.
I'm going to be honest. A big part of it was that you fucked me so good. You just did. And that was a big part of it. And which later turned into something it became like a part of, you know, a reason why insecurities came up for both of us about our sex life and stuff.
Yeah.
And, you know, but at the time I was like, this is bonkers, cuckoo bananas. I can't even kiss anyone else, like, without being like, okay, whatever. Like, yeah. And it stopped being like exciting to imagine hooking up with other people. That's what started it.
Right. Started the thought of like, maybe this could work.
Yeah. Cause I had never felt satisfied by one person. And if I was satisfied with them emotionally or mentally, which I don't think I ever really was, but okay, let's go reverse. If I was satisfied with them sexually, I certainly wasn't satisfied emotionally.
Right.
Which had been the case prior to my relationship with you, where I was always looking for someone who could give me that intimacy that was like, I was lacking with. So I dated people who would cuddle with me and like hug me and whisper sweet nothings.
Yeah. So polyamory. And I remember like thinking this too is like, was your way of grappling with like one person, it's not fair to expect them to be everything for me.
Very that.
And so I'm going to allow myself to love naturally as we are and love multiple people and be intimate with multiple people to feel fulfilled. And then, but what that ended up doing was like enabling staying in situations that aren't fulfilling.
Which is
interesting. And not true for everyone, maybe exactly. True, you know, but
definitely not true for everyone.
Yeah.
But in this specific case, it kept me in an abusive cycle where I would gaslight myself into thinking that I was in a healthy relationship with someone, but that I was asking too much of them to be like considered in the way that I felt was bare minimum.
Yeah. And when we were together, like, I just felt so like complete, just so fully me. Like there was nothing else that I wanted. Like I just felt like when we were together, it was just this. And when we are together, it's just this like magical experience where I feel so completely myself and I don't feel like that is way more than enough. That's more than I ever thought I'd ever have in my life. And
you are the person of my entire dreams.
Yeah, for sure. Same.
Like, unreal. So, sometimes I'm just like, I sometimes feel the need to like silence myself a bit about how obsessed I am with you and our relationship, because it feels like, all right, like, especially on social media, like...
Yeah, if I heard someone else talking about our relationship the way that, like, we talk about it and...
I would mute experience, them.
For sure. I would be like, what are you trying to prove?
Right.
But the truth is...
Nothing.
Nothing. It's as good, if not better, than you think.
Yeah.
And it just feels like this is what happens when you have two people committed to being fully the best versions of themselves and following whatever is in front of them that feels right. It's like we fell into each other that way.
Yeah, that's what it felt like. I felt like, I remember saying to my therapist that being like kissing you felt like I was drinking water. Like it was hydrating. Like I felt like I was gaining something by being in your presence and your energy. And it was the first time that I had ever felt like that, mm-hmm. where I was getting more from a relationship instead mm-hmm. of feeling like I was being spread thin,
right.
and like something was being taken from me.
Yeah.
And I think, so when you ask what led to me wanting to be monogamous with mm-hmm. you, it was that mm-hmm. ultimately.
Yeah.
After the sex thing.
Right.
It was that I felt like you were somebody that I could imagine being with the rest of my life without yeah. any fear or hesitation.
Yeah.
And that was like, I didn't ever expect that to happen, you know?
And now we're married.
Well, so when I did propose the monogamy thing, mm-hmm. what did that do for you?
I was like jumping up and down screaming in my body.
Yeah.
It was like, I was so excited. It was like the moment that, okay, so I was driving to a friend's place down the highway, and the full moon was right in front of me the entire drive. This was an hour-long drive. It was really late at night. And I was feeling really insecure about polyamory, our relationship, and I just kept saying to the moon, I am secure in my relationship. I am secure in my relationship, for like an hour long, over and over again, just trying to affirm and feel good in my body and to...
Out loud?
Out loud. To like... tell myself, like, you are safe, you are safe, you are safe. And then as I was pulling up to my friend's place, you called me and told me that you were going to break up with your other partner.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. And I was like...
You did that?
Did I just do witchcraft?
Did I just make somebody break up with someone else?
Did I do that?
Oh, God.
Trans Urkel?
Trickle?
Trickle? Yeah, that was me. But I will say that, like...
Well, it's crazy because I did feel the moon shoot something into my brain. And then all it's of a sudden, crazy. I was like, I should break up.
It was the moon that told me to. Yeah. Anyway, I love where our relationship has landed. All respect to folks who are polyamorous and who do
say
it.
Say that with your chest.
All respect.
All respect. Folks who do it.
But, I'll just say this is like our journey.
Wrong.
No, it's not wrong.
No, it's not.
It's just not my journey at this time in my life.
Hey, if we were less good for each other, we'd be poly.
If you sucked,
I'd probably want to fuck someone else.
Yeah, that's basically what you're saying.
Do you want to share what you're in love with at this time?
I'm in love with girl groups.
Mm-hmm.
We just watched Building the Band. There is nothing like three or more women singing at the top of their range in unison while moving their bodies in a hot and sexy, cool, fun way. There is nothing that brings me more joy and excitement. I will watch a video over and over and over again just to get that life. The only way that I could exercise or run is if I'm watching... not just a girl group, but any woman perform live. Beyonce.
You're talking about Beyonce.
I'm talking about Beyonce. Anyway, that's what I'm in love with right now. What are you in love with right now?
Right now, I am in love with crochet. I am just obsessed with it. Yeah. Everything, when I go blank, mm-hmm. I think about crochet.
Yeah.
When I relax, it's crochet in my brain.
Mm-hmm.
I just want to make my whole life a little jacket.
Yeah.
I want to make everything a little jacket out of crochet.
Yeah.
And so,
I want to ask you all, what are you in love with? Think about it.
Let us know in the comments.
Let us know in the comments.
And if you're interested in watching this podcast as a video, please,
the full thing.
Please support us on Patreon.
Yeah. Patreon's pretty cool.
It's, there are several tiers you could choose from, and, it really helps us out when you subscribe.
It really does. Shall we end with a song?
Sure. A one, a two, a one, two, three, four. Hey,
hey,
what? What's that thing outside?
It's a dog barking for some fries or food.
Dinner is served. Dogs are served.
Dogs are annoying the crap out of me.
Jazz
is good, and we're not poly.
We are monogamous, and we got two dogs.
Two dogs, one cat, and one pussy for me, please. Okay, I love you all.
I love you.
And I love you.
I love you so much.
Cheers.
Cheersies. Clink.
Bye.
Bye. Trans in love. Take an hour. Stay a while.
I love you.
Love you.
Love you.